Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Well, today we're in chapter 28 of the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at more warnings that the book of Proverbs gives in regards to godliness and ungodliness. And so let's get right into it. Chapter 28, verse 1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Now, the picture here that we have laid out is that here is a person that is guilty of doing something wrong, and so or they have a guilty conscience. Maybe they have done something wrong and they're a fugitive and whatever, but they live in constant fear. When it says the wicked flee and no man pursueth, it's like someone that has a reputation for being wicked and doing evil things. They really can't find a place where they are safe, where they feel protected. I know it's that way, or it was that way with Bin Laden. And he had to live in a different house all the time while he was on the run. Of course, they finally caught up with him. Same thing with Saddam Hussein. Same thing with Adolf Hitler. These people many times cannot stay in one place because someone will find out where they are and they'll assassinate them, try to kill them. And so they have no peace. They're constantly thinking somebody is pursuing them. It says, when no man pursueth, yet they're on the run. And that's because of their wickedness. They live in constant fear. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, the righteous, on the other hand, has no guilty conscience. They don't run because they're afraid of somebody. They don't have to. They have courage. They're bold as a lion. Why? Because they know they've done nothing wrong. And so you can decide which one you want to be, a person that lives in fear or a person that walks in faith because they know that their sins have been forgiven and God is on their side. And so they can be as bold as a lion, the Bible says. Verse 2, "For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged." Here, when it talks about princes, it's talking about the leaders of a nation, all right? And it's simply saying that when a leader is a person who breaks the rules, who breaks the law, transgressions of the land, then there are many princes thereof. In other words, when there is a leader without understanding, there will be many people that will be turned over and over and over. In other words, they will lose their positions. There'll be a turnover, just like you would have a turnover in business. When a business has a lot of turnover, usually there's problems within that business. When a nation has a big turnover of leadership because of possibly the leaders have done something wrong or at least suspect of doing something wrong, so they usher that one out and put another one in. When you see a lot of turnover in a government, you can be suspect of there must be something wrong with that government, with the leadership of that government. Of course, when you have a leader, a man of understanding and knowledge, then you'll have leaders who will stay in their positions for a long period of time. I know this is true not only in the area of government, but I believe it's also true as a principle in the leader, a leader in regards to business, or even to the church. when you see a church that has a lot of pastors, they keep them for just a short period of time, and then they bring another one in, and they don't last long, and they bring another one in. The problem there is leadership in that church. They cannot become a stable church because they're constantly turning over their pastors. And that's a weak church. But when you find a church where the pastor has been there for a long tenure, and the deacons and trustees support the pastor, the leadership, and the congregation supports the deacons, and if there are trustees, or if there are other people in positions of leadership, then you know that's going to be a good church because it's stable. Leadership that is there for a long period of time will mean that church or that business, or in the case of a government even, is a stable government. Now then we look at verse 3. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. Now the picture we get in our minds here comes a rain, but it's not a rain that blesses and helps the crop. It's a rain that maybe floods the crop or floods the area that's been planted, and you'll have to replant the seed. A sweeping rain, a hard, fast rain that does more damage than it does good. It ruins instead of helping. So a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain that causes ruin. A poor man that oppresses other poor people is not a blessing to him, but rather a curse to him. And of course, it shows the depravity of a human heart. You have to wonder, why would a poor man oppress another poor man? Why? Well, because our hearts are deceitful, desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. And so when you see a poor man oppressing another poor man, you know that it's just showing that that poor person that's doing the persecution of the other poor person is certainly not right with God. And he's going to cause more ruin than he is help. Verse 4, chapter 28. They that forsake the law or break the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Now, those who forsake the word of God and who speak well of wicked people that are doing wicked deeds, God cannot bless that. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. All right, that's because they've forsaken the law. They praise the wicked because they have a wicked heart. But such as keep the law contend with them, which means those that take a stand for righteousness will have conflict with leadership that is unrighteous. For instance, in our land of America, we have abortion, legalized abortion since 1973. Now, I don't agree with that. I'll contend against that because the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches, I think, that life begins at conception and that we should honor life. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. In regards to homosexuality, we have legalize same-sex marriage in America, but that doesn't mean it's right. I don't agree with that, and I'll take a stand against that because of the fact that the Bible doesn't teach it. And so those that are right with the Lord will contend with those who make these kind of laws. And we should. We ought to obey God, Peter said, rather than men. So we ought to keep the law and be keepers of the law of the land as long as that law does not conflict with the law of God. When it does, then we must take a stand. Verse 5, evil men understand not judgment. If they did, they wouldn't practice evil things. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now the reason that evil persons do not quite comprehend or understand judgment is that they're living in sin. And a person living in sin cannot make rational, good decisions, and they don't realize the consequences of their actions. They should, but if they really did, they wouldn't do the evil deeds. Sin, you see, distorts everything that is good and righteous, and it distorts justice. And so evil men, they don't get it, but they that seek the Lord, they that look to God and His Word, will be those that have a spiritual understanding. And if you have a good spiritual foundation, you will also have a good moral foundation, and the saved person will have greater insights because they have the wisdom of God in order to make decisions, while the wicked doesn't have that. So they don't understand judgment. Verse 6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So the Bible says that a poor man that has character, a poor man that is honest in all of his dealings, is better than a wealthy person that is dishonest. That's basically what it's saying here. Though he be wealthy, he's perverse in his ways, and the person that's actually poor financially is better off than the person that's rich financially, because the person that is poor walks in his uprightness. He does the right thing. The other doesn't. He may be rich, but he's not rich in the things of God. Verse 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. You know, my dad used to warn me about running around with the wrong crowd. And I see now that he was certainly giving me good advice, because you can get entangled with the wrong crowd, even though you're a good guy or a good girl, because of association with the wrong crowd, you can get yourself in trouble. And so the Bible is saying here that if you are a wise son or a wise daughter, you'll keep the law. You'll not speed. You'll not break the law of the land, whether it be local or whatever. You will be a person that is not lawless, but a person that keeps the law. And, of course, you'll be a blessing to your parents when you do that. But a person that runs as a companion of riotous men, it brings shame upon your parents when you break the law. You've got to be careful. The bottom line is be very careful who you associate with. Make sure they're people of character, good character, and integrity. Verse 8, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance. So here's a person that charges a high interest rate, and he's also deceptive in his practices. He will make money. He'll increase his substance. He shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. What it means is the person that takes advantage of other people and he prospers, he may prosper for a season, but in time, God will see to it that he will all he has accumulated will be given to those that are doing the right thing. It pays to do the right thing. Justice will eventually prevail. And so just do the right thing. Verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Excuse me. This verse seems to indicate that God is not going to hear the prayer of the ungodly person. Now, I know he will if it's a prayer of repentance and confession of sin. God will hear that. But here is a man or a woman that lives an ungodly life, and they get into trouble, and they say, "Oh God, please help me get out of this." God's not going to hear that prayer. Okay? Now, if it's a repenting prayer, he will, but usually it's not. They just want to be delivered, and then they wind up going right back to doing the evil deeds again. Sooner or later, the day will come when the ungodly person will really need God. I like what Dr. Sorensen says in his commentary on Proverbs. He says, sooner or later, the day will come when one will spiritually dial 911 in prayer, but the call won't go through. Yeah, well, that's basically what this is teaching. He turneth away his ear from here. He that turneth his way his ear. Oh, I'm going to read it one more time. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law of God, he doesn't want to hear it. Even his prayer shall be an abomination, which means God will not hear his prayer if he turns away his ear from listening to what the word of God says. Verse 10, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. So here's a person that deceives another person that tries to get them in trouble. He causeth the righteous to go astray. What happens is God will see to it that he will suffer the consequences of his actions. He'll fall into his own pit that he's set for somebody else. The upright is not so, though. He shall have good things in his possession, doing right once again in the long run. You may not see it, you know, right now, but in the long run, doing the right thing will always pay off. God will see to it. All right? You can trust God to do what he says he will do. And God will, if you live a godly life, you'll see it'll pay off in the long run. Verse 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. Now, that doesn't go for all rich men or rich women, because there are rich people who are good, godly, humble Christians, but they're very few and far between. Here is a rich man that is proud of himself or herself, and they think they've done it all on their own. They don't realize that God is the one that giveth wealth, but they think they're wise in their own conceit. They're self-conceited. But the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. So the poor, speaking of people who are not rich in material goods or whatever, they are the ones that really are wise, and they are the ones that will benefit in the long run. They may not have earthly riches, but if you've got, if you're saved and you know you're on your way to heaven, how can you be any richer than that? But a modest person that has understanding about the things of life is better off than the rich person who doesn't. Verse 12, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, a man is hidden. Now, the point here is speaking, I think, basically of a nation, the national leaders. When the leaders are righteous people, men or women, of that nation will be blessed. It'll have great glory. But when the wicked arise, I started to say when they put the wicked in office, but many times it's a government that is not democratic, doesn't work that way. They just, you know, the strongest prevails. The point is that when the wicked rise up, though, everybody is going to hide themselves when the ungodly are in authority. They're going to be afraid. Because let's face it, when a dictator or something comes to power, eventually that dictator will cause problems for the people that he is that he has authority over. And so that's the point. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy. Well, that reminds me of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's up to you. You can either cover your sins or you can confess your sins. The Bible says if you cover your sins, you're not going to prosper. You're not going to prosper, I don't think, material-wise. In the things of this world, you're not going to prosper absolutely in spiritual things. You'll not prosper spiritually if you cover your sins or you make an excuse for yourself. But if you'll confess your sins, you can count on God doing his part. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We'll receive the mercy of God if we confess our sins. Verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Now the point here is that a man or a woman, a boy or a girl that will have a fear of God and the authority of God will be blessed of God. And I know there are some that want to water down this thing of fear of God. Oh, you shouldn't fear God. You should love God. Yes, you should love God, but you should also fear God, because God has the power to take your life if he wants to. Now, I don't know about you, but since the Bible says to me the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I'm going to fear the Lord, literally. All right? And I know this, that it pays off to fear the Lord. You'll be blessed of God if you do. That's the point. But it says here, but he that hardeneth his heart, that means he does not fear God. He just goes through life with no fear of God. He don't want to hear about God. His heart's hard. But what'll happen to him? Well, eventually he'll get into trouble. And he will suffer the consequences of his actions. Bottom line, fear the Lord. I'm going to stop right there in this session. We'll pick it up in verse 15 in our next session.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.